I'm glad to get connected with you.
Yes, thank you so much for coming again.
Yeah, it's terrific. I enjoyed our conversation so much the last time we connected. I just really, it's great to connect with somebody where we resonate in terms
exactly.
of values.
Exactly, and right? I felt the same way. Thank you.
So, the goal for today, this is kind of an informal conversation,
okay.
but the goal really is what we're trying to do, big picture, is we're trying to help the chamber increase engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And by telling stories that are relevant stories to people who are in the chamber, they could say, oh, that's me. I could do that. Or I know somebody like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's great stuff happening and we're just not capturing that. And we want to try and reinforce those ideas and have people say, oh, I didn't know the chamber did that.
Right.
So I think that's kind of the introduction here, and I think that really you did a great job of outlining your thoughts about your engagement with the chamber. So I'd love to hear some more about that. I may ask you a couple of questions about some of the mission work you've done, because I'm interested in that kind of stuff. And we may talk a tiny bit about leadership, because you're passionate about it, I can tell. And as we get started, and know that a ton of this is going to get edited, we'll probably cut it down to about 10 minutes of content, so a lot of stuff is going to go on the cutting room floor. So, but I'm curious, do you have your results of your associate opinion survey? Your team survey?
Not yet. No. We won't get that until I actually got an email today.
Yeah.
They're going to meet with me in October. So we have to wait quite some time for it. But everybody's excited. I feel excellent about it. Everyone was excited after the survey. So.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I think one of the challenges that I saw with HR feedback models is that there's just too much delay.
Yes.
We're in a world where people post a selfie on Facebook and they get likes in seconds.
Exactly. And then are disappointed if they don't get a lot of likes.
That's right.
So then they doubt themselves and everything they stand for if they don't get a lot of likes in 5 minutes.
Yeah, I have to say I was supremely disappointed to see a friend's son who was in, he might be in high school now, post on Facebook rates. And he put that out there, and then basically these girls would put their names, and then he would put a rating for them.
Oh my gosh!
That's why I said I was supremely disappointed. I just couldn't believe that, you know. And he did that with regularity, and these girls would just be like, oh, "I want to know how I do. I want to know where I am."
What?
Yeah, as a father, I would not tolerate that nonsense from my son.
Oh my gosh!
But I mean, as the father of daughters,
definitely not.
I would. There's things about the culture that we don't even know, right?
Exactly.
If I hadn't been connected on Facebook with this high schooler, I would never have known that even wouldn't have entered my mind.
Exactly. It's so different now. It's so different.
Yeah, I think that's why we have to just be so clear and so quick to be able to provide feedback to people.
Absolutely. Because people are accustomed to immediate feedback. Everything is immediate.
So. We could have it before immediate. That
exactly.
was the ideal, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. So what I wanted to ask you about is your engagement with the chamber. So I take it that starting to connect with the chamber was not your highest priority.
No, it's actually my lowest priority. And the reason it was my lowest priority, I had just come over to CMC University from Carolina's Healthcare System Behavioral Health. The task that I was charged with was to create our Business Development Community Relations Division. We bought property inside of North Lake Mall, and it was my job to create programming for that, hire the staff, do everything involved in that. And I also had three other departments that I was over. So extra time for extra activities just was the lowest on my priority. I had so much to do just in the scope of my actual job, the actual job description duties. And so my supervisor, at the time, who was incredibly forward-thinking, he said, you know, Mo, I want you to, I have something I need you to be a part of. And I was thinking it was going to be very scope-related. And I said, okay. And he said, well, come on down to the office. I'll talk to you. So when he said, well, I want you to be involved in the chamber, and I said, absolutely not. I said, I don't have time. I said, I don't have time.
No, no.
Yeah, I said, I just don't, because I had already started to feel overwhelmed at that point. And I said, no, I don't have time. And he said, well, yeah, you have to be involved in the chamber. So he kind of reworded it, which let me know that
maybe you thought this was a question.
Yeah, exactly. No, this was not he's awesome, and he was awesome in that way, though. And so he reworded it to let me know that I was being voluntold for the duty. And he explained why, the importance, why CMC University needed to be involved and needed to have a seat at the University City Chair, the University City Chamber group. Mm-hmm. And so it made sense. It definitely made sense because so much activity was happening in the University City area, and we needed to have a voice and to be present and to be a part of that business community. So I understood it.
So I guess that you didn't like
reluctant.
It.
No, right. No. Still was very reluctant. Still slightly annoyed because I couldn't see. I understood what he was asking, but I couldn't see why that was my job.
What's in it for me?
And what's in it for me? Mm-hmm. And when am I going to have time to devote to anything else? So I remember the first meeting I went to, and I thought, clearly I am an outsider here. Clearly I'm a fish out of water. At that time, everyone was older than I was, but much more experienced, very knowledgeable of the chamber, how the city works, how everything worked. And healthcare was my background, not city activities. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. However, everybody on that group really thought that I belonged there. They made me at least feel like I belonged there. So that gave me the confidence I needed just to go to the second meeting and to go to the third
meeting. Well, let me ask you that, about that. You said that they made you feel like you were a part of the group.
Yeah.
Do you remember anything that anybody did?
They asked me questions.
Okay.
They allowed me to introduce myself. There were activities, and they said, would you like to take lead on this activity?
Mm-hmm.
And that was like the first two meetings.
Hmm.
And because they gave me they opened the door and they pulled me in, and mm-hmm. they didn't make me feel like an outsider. So to me, I felt like they saw me as an equal,
mm-hmm.
and they saw the value that I could bring, and that was very important to me at the time. So I was still a little lost, and when they gave me a task to lead, and I can't remember what the task was, and that's when Charisse, she kind of pulled me to the side, and whether it's because we're both from Buffalo or whatever the reason,
mm-hmm.
she gave me a little special attention that I needed, and she pulled me to the side, and she just kind of gave me the inside and what the expectations were and that type of information. So that helped tremendously. So the year went on, and you know, I helped with different activities and committees and those types of things. And then from there, the next year they said, so that was 2 years. And then after that, they said, well, you know, we would like for you to be the first vice chair. Before that, I was over planning at the activities. The classes, the educational seminars, that's mm-hmm. what I did. And again, you know, when I was tasked with that the second year to be the chair of the education committees or education planning, they all, again, were very supportive. Charisse kind of had given me kind of an idea of what the other chambers did and what would be good for our area specific. Everybody on the board were very helpful in kind of helping to guide and plan those activities. So to start from planning activities to actually implementing and seeing people come to an event you planned
mm-hmm.
upped my confidence even more.
Sure.
Because I thought, wow, people are really coming to this event.
This really works.
Yeah, this is working. So people, you know, when people start to come to the events, that was great. And then the following year they said, well, we want you to be first chair. And I said, well, I'm not ready for that because I still don't know how everything works.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, no, you're ready. And so as you can
see, I'm noticing a theme here.
A theme, voluntold. Voluntold. That is the theme of my life. So again, Charisse met with me. The president at the time, I think it was Edna Chirico. It was either Edna or I can't think of her name right now. Mary Hopper kind of told me the direction and what mm-hmm. needed to happen. And I followed that plan, and it worked, and it just kept growing. So within Carolina's healthcare system, we changed some things internally. So I was no longer allowed to, or it wasn't that I wasn't allowed to, but
your schedule wouldn't fit.
Well, it wasn't that they had one of our other departments wanted representatives from their department to be on, because there was a strategic plan
mm-hmm.
for Carolina's healthcare system that needed to take place, and I was more focused. CMC University focus.
Sure.
So mm-hmm. they wanted to kind of make sure that there was a broader reach of the person who would represent Carolina's healthcare system. So I was really disappointed, but I understood. Mm-hmm. So I asked Charisse if there was anything that I could do on the chamber, because I now had gone from being voluntold to this is essential to my growth.
Let me dig into that for a second. Mm-hmm. So how did it happen? Because growth doesn't happen automatically.
Right.
Growth only happens intentionally.
Absolutely.
So what happened for you that this was the catalyst for growth for you? Why was the chamber? Because there are plenty of people who connect with the chamber and don't grow. Mm-hmm. So what do you think it was about your experience that allowed you to stretch and grow in that way?
Well, I think when there's a difference, if you put a broad message out and say, hey, we want you here, that message goes over people's heads. But if someone taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, we need you to do this, then not only will you do it, but you'll always have that, okay, I have to do it and I can't disappoint. And so I think tapping someone on the shoulder versus a broad message is what kept me involved and kept me going. It made me feel like, okay, I've got to make this work because I have a whole board of people I have to report to. I have a whole university chamber board I have to report the results to. And I didn't want to let Charisse down. It was really, really important that somebody who had taken time, invested their time in me, that I reciprocated that.
Okay. So, and then how did you evaluate your growth? Because you must have said, hey, I like this. This is working. I feel... Yeah. Something about it. What was the trigger for you to be evaluating that?
I felt empowered, and that empowerment actually transcended just from the chamber into my actual job description. So whereas I thought initially, like, this has nothing to do with my job description, it ended up having everything to do with the success I've had in my job, because that confidence and just understanding how to lead and to structure, it gave me that. It gave me exactly what I needed in my job description duties.
So even though the work seemed like it was unrelated to your success, doing that work equipped you for more success?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Interesting.
Absolutely. So, and it just had given me a lot of confidence, because I thought that the chamber was this big, huge mass, this huge monster that I would never be able to fit in, didn't understand, really complicated. But for me to be able to fit in and to be told that I was doing a good job at it gave me the confidence to feel like, well, if I can do that, I can lead a hospital now. So it was just because I didn't know. I went from not knowing, not understanding, not even having basic knowledge of the workings of a chamber to not only understanding how it works, but also being able to take leadership roles in that.
With your... So I'm curious, in parallel, so you're doing this work with the chamber, you're having responsibilities added, you're taking those on, you're following through. What was happening at work while you were doing those things at the chamber?
The exact same thing. So at work, I was responsible for pulling different groups together, pulling departments together, creating and establishing different events for our Live Well at North Lake Mall facility. So that was a big portion. Program planning was a big portion of what I did there. And then the connectivity came in when CMC University, well, when the chamber needed sponsorship activities or needed a healthcare presence or anything along those lines, I was always the first that they would tap, because I'm at the table with the decision makers. So we were fortunate enough to be able to sponsor a lot of their activities, always have a presence at all chamber events and activities in the university area. So it ran parallel. And that's why I say my supervisor, he was Tony Kuskowitz. He was very forward thinking, because he saw how having a seat at the table was going to allow us to develop our business further. Sometimes in healthcare, we may not think that directly to be that embedded in the community. Carolina's healthcare system does a great job with that, but sometimes we don't understand how valuable it can be to us to be in this, to be right there on the forefront, because it's that same, when you send a mass message, people may not hear you, but when you tap someone, they'll hear you. So if I have a table that says CMC University set up, and I ask someone, hey, come on over to this table and let me take your blood pressure at a chamber event, they'll come and do it, and dialogue happens, and referrals are generated. So that's how it all connected.
Interesting. Well, then you said now you've been voluntold out of that job. Your boss said, sorry, we've got a different direction. Yeah. You're no longer needed in that role. But right. you decided you wanted to continue with the chamber. Why?
It went from, and I'll say selfish, it went from my own selfishness of, oh, this is really helping me as a leader. It's helping me grow. It's helping me to develop. To, I absolutely love what you all are doing for the community. Hmm. I love, I live here. I pay taxes here. And I am part of, I take responsibility for the growth and how others see it. And that was something the chamber taught me was you have an impact, a direct impact, into how people see Charlotte, who decides to come here, what is the experience they have when they come here. So I took a lot of pride in that. So I went from my involvement being for my own personal gain to I've got to give back and be a part of this now what I thought was a monster before. I've got to be a part of this and be involved.
Become part of the monster.
I've got to become part of the beast. Yes.
Okay, so you said you went to Charisse? Yeah. To ask about opportunities?
I went to Charisse and she handed me off to Kiva because Kiva was over the diversity and inclusion initiatives. And there were two, so he said, come on over, you can be on the, it was called the Diversity Advisory Council at the time, DAC. And so I said, okay, so I got on that. We were doing great things. And then the idea came up to start an award to give to companies for diversity and inclusion. And he asked me, well, Mo, can you lead the application, the whole application process? So as a team, we worked on that. Myself and another person, he and I worked on that together. I can't remember his name. He and I worked on the application for that. And so he and I just went from this conversation and kind of vetting and seeing, you know, well, the requirements should be this and not that. And then we started to get applications. Mm. And I thought, people really want this award. This is great. So we started to get applications. And we went through that whole process of selection. And then to see people at the annual chamber event get an award, and you were part of just that application process, I thought, wow, this is really cool. Hmm. And so, and then it turned into the Belk Innovation Award. So it just grew from that. And I've just always stayed involved in the diversity and inclusion activities for the chamber.
What do you think is next for you when it comes to chamber activities?
I don't know, because I just saw Rod on, because then I was passed on to Rod after Kiva transitioned, and Rod, I was in the Emerging Business Leaders program, which was phenomenal that they have, and Rod said, Rod, I need something else now, I need another task, but I'm also working on, there's another group that Charisse is leading called POW, Power of Women, and it's really basically bringing in women businesses, connecting that community. So I'm helping with that, and then I'm sure Ryan will give me a new task.
He'll have to tap you on the shoulder and say,
yeah,
this is what we
yeah,
need you to
yeah.
do.
Yeah, or I'm going to keep tapping him on his shoulder. So he said it needs to be a value, though, and I appreciate him thinking that way.
Now, with respect to that, you not only had those experiences, mm-hmm. but then you evaluated your experiences. Because I can tell that you're somebody who is thoughtful about your mm-hmm. life and yeah. introspective about these
yes.
things. What was it that motivated you to reach out to Bob Morgan to tell your story?
We had closed out the Emerging Business Leaders. I'm just a reflective person in that way. We had closed out the Emerging Business Leaders, and we had the graduation for the next class. And I was given an award. I won an award for Distinguished Alumni of the Emerging Business Leaders. And I was so excited about that. But at the same time, I had received an award for Carolina's healthcare system, which is called the Firestarter Leadership Award. Hmm. And it is a huge award, and to be selected out of 60,000 employees, it was such an honor. And so when I got these two awards, and they paralleled, and then I had gotten a new job that was a huge role, it just came full circle for me. Hmm. And I thought, well, here I am with this really great award, and I'm in my new office, and I've been given a job that I've never done before.
Hmm.
But I know it has to be successful. But I was confident enough to take this job, even though I have no experience in it. I was confident enough to say, I know I don't have any experience in this job, but I know that I can help, because in 2006, I didn't have any experience in the chamber, and I was able to help. So that's how it paralleled.
Mm-hmm. And you also told me the last time we connected about some work that you've done internationally.
Yeah.
So tell me about how you got started with that.
Well, I when I was at our LiveWell facility at North Lake Mall, the director of the mall at the time, Nan Gray, who's phenomenal, she and I had become friends, and we were sitting down. We went to dinner. It was like December, January, and we were just talking, and I told her, I said, I'd love to explore global healthcare, you know, as my next transition or path in life, whenever that may be. And to know Nan is to know she's just very enthusiastic about everything. And she said, well, I'm going to Africa in 2 months or 3 months. You want to go? And I said, absolutely. And
absolutely. Wait a minute.
Yeah, I didn't know anything
hesitation,
about it. No.
Just, you're in.
It was all in. It wasn't until maybe 2 weeks before we were going to leave that it dawned on me that I was going to Africa without family, without really knowing anybody, mm-hmm. without a way to call my mom and dad if something should happen. So that was the only time I got nervous, is right around that time.
Mm-hmm.
But then I just said, well, if anything happens to me, I'd rather die doing good than die doing nothing.
Hmm.
So,
well, tell me, what did you do there?
They have an American-owned school called the Discovery School. It's in Burundi, Bujumbura, Burundi, outside, near Rwanda. And we taught different lessons. One of my favorite lessons was teaching on the importance of volunteering, because these are students who have nothing, maybe eat once a day, but their parents have chosen to send to pay for their tuition, which it was around $30 or $50 per month, which is equivalent to thousands for us. They value education. And so every day I just taught different lessons and just shared lessons about America with the students. But the best lesson, and I've taught a math class, I taught a science class and a reading class, but they speak four languages, so I was a little limited on the reading I could teach. But and explore their on this compound, they also have a clinic there. So just explore the clinic. It was just really interesting. But the best lesson that I had that day was teaching students to volunteer.
Hmm.
Because that is not a concept that they understand or are accustomed to. They give freely, but for it to be an organized thought of, we're going to go and give our free time.
Mm-hmm.
So what I had the students do is, we packed, Carolina's healthcare system donated around 100 bags or so, 60 or so bags. And so we took, in those bags, we put powdered milk and a piece of fruit, and fruit is a gift in their culture, and rounded up all of the students, and we went to the medical clinic and passed out the bags to everybody that was there.
Hmm.
And the medical clinic is inundated, as you can imagine, with patients. They don't have a physician there. The nurse there is kind of the physician. He's the gentleman there. And they said the Lord's Prayer with each patient.
Hmm.
They sat and they just talked to the patients, and they sang to the patients, and we went from room to room delivering these bags. And one mother who was there with her baby, she just started crying when the kids started to sing. And so then we just talked about the importance of giving. No matter how little you have enough to give.
Hmm.
And so it was just, they enjoyed it so much.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. And I also, you mentioned that Carolina's Healthcare donated materials for that.
Yeah.
And so inside your 2 month planning window for going to Africa, you also lobbied the company to be able to donate.
Yeah. And there was another person on the mission team who had also asked Carolina's healthcare system for t-shirts. I didn't know her because I'm only 2 months in. And so when we were packing together as a team, we had to pack together. And as we were packing together, I saw Carolina's healthcare system t-shirts. And I was like, this is really cool. So I have some really great, great photos of you know, those over in Africa with their Carolina's healthcare system bags and t-shirts on. But it was an incredible experience.
If you were going to go back to 2006, and tap Manifa on the shoulder and give her some advice about how to think differently or act differently or to do something differently with respect to the chamber. What do you think you would, because think about where you were perception-wise when your boss said to you, Mo. I got something for you to do. What do you think would be helpful to kind of reframe that opportunity?
That's a really great question. And if I was telling myself, that's difficult because everything happened the way exactly it was supposed to happen. I don't know. I really don't know. I would probably just tell myself, you'll be fine. This is going to be the best experience and the most valued experience and needed experience of your entire career. You will not get to where you are if you don't do this. You won't get to where you have the potential to go if you don't do this.
Wow. Yeah, I think about what if we all embraced that as a part of our daily work?
Yeah.
That idea. I remember one scene in a relatively not memorable movie was Eddie Murphy did a movie called Coming to America.
Yeah.
And he was a prince and he came to America and he was working at a knockoff of McDonald's. And he took a job as an entry-level person.
Right.
And he mopped the floor
with
precision and pride.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I that particular scene hits me from time to time as I think about what if I approach the idea of mopping the floor with
excellence,
right?
With striving to be excellent. Yeah.
Yeah. So, because what I'm thinking about is I'm sure there's somebody else who is in your 2006 position today, has an opportunity to step in to do play a role in one of the chapters in the Chamber of Commerce, and they might be thinking, that's not that important, that's not urgent,
right.
I got other stuff to do, and what do you think you would say to them about getting them to take a step in that way?
If you want to grow and be the best leader that you can be, this is the training ground. Your job is not the training ground because your company will shape you into what they want you to be. And that's exactly what's supposed to happen. They shape you for the next job that they want you to have in that company. But you need to be shaped as a broader leader and to be able to use those skills and those networking and that connection, any company you go to, in any organization you're selected to lead. So the chamber and having this opportunity will shape you into being a global leader versus a very local leader.
That's interesting. That's really interesting. And what do you, I ask everybody this, what do you think the chamber could do next or to increase its impact?
I just think people need to know. I think just really, really kind of getting, because if you're in the chamber, you hear all kind of activities going on. You know, if you're involved, if you're in that space, but if you're not in that space, you'll never hear what's going on. It just doesn't really tap you the way I would hope, because even with my friends now who know that I'm involved in the chamber, the only way they hear about it is through me, but they still, unless I sit down and have an educational moment to explain it, they still don't get it. They just see that I'm having a lot of fun and they'll say, well, you know, how can I get involved? And that's how I redirect them. But I just think if we can maybe do more advertisement, more push, but not just to the group that already knows about it, but to the group that has never had any experience with it. I think that will definitely. And I think through different activities, fun activities, would really engage people.
In closing, I want to think about your role at Carolinas Healthcare when you started in the chamber.
Yeah.
and your role now. What's different in terms of the scope or the impact or the how's the leadership development changed? What's involved with that?
Tremendous. And I cannot say enough that I would have been too afraid to take this job had I not developed with the chamber, had I not been pushed out there and said, no, you know how to do it, you can do it. I would have been too afraid to take this job. So when I was there at university, I was a manager. I had some departments and had some heavy responsibilities. But now I have been tasked with changing the entire way our hospital system does onboarding in a process. So changing a 25-year history or longer of the way we do business. So it reaches every single facility, every hospital, every physician, every nurse practitioner that we have in the system, which is thousands. So we have been working diligently. When I came into this department, actually, this is an incredibly bright team. However, there were situations that happened that kind of shifted their confidence in themselves. So the very first thing to do was really to build up the team and build up the people, because the vision that we have and where we need to go, it's going to take the entire team and every person on the team to be fully involved, invested, and engaged. So that's what happened, and now we are moving so fast and furious towards our goal. And so I went from being very local at CMC University and in the university to now being more of a global for Carolina's healthcare system, in reaching and having a very far-reaching impact on how we do business.
And you think you're prepared for that?
My results will tell in October. So, I'll tell. I mean, thankfully, my team, they reinforce and they tell me all of the time that this is the best they've ever felt in their workspace. I've just gotten great feedback that I'm very grateful for either from our chief medical officers or our physicians. Everybody sees the change and they're appreciative of the change in the direction in which we're going. And my supervisors, they always give me a lot of positive feedback. So I think we'll be fine.
Well, based on our conversation, I've mentioned to you before, I was really impressed with your leadership capability.
Thank you.
It's rare to see someone who embraces and applies the ideas that they encounter.
Yeah.
And I think your reflectiveness is very powerful for you to be effective in that way. It's obvious in my interaction with you that you're passionate about your people, you're passionate about your role, you care deeply about doing the right things and doing them the right way.
Yeah.
And I can see that it's evidenced in the way that you care for your people and the way that you have your priorities up on your wall in your office. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so, as I mentioned to you before, it's impressive the amount of leadership that I see expressed in your work. So I'm fully confident that you're prepared for that.
Thank you. I feel every day gets better. You know, sometimes it can be difficult if you don't know the very, very technical details, but I'm learning the technical details. But what matters to me the most is that people are smiling now and people are not afraid to give feedback and everybody's on board, invested, and they trust me, and that matters, and I trust them.
That's exactly right. I think trust is the foundation of all that work.
Yeah.
So, well, it's been a great conversation. Thank you very much.
Likewise. Thank you so much. Thank you very much. And I look forward to whatever this is going to come into, whatever this will come into.
Well, I know that I talked with Tanisha Waldo at the Chamber. She's very excited about this program and about the content we've been able to pull together so far.
Good.
I think they're trying to do a coordinated release of some of this stuff.
Okay.
And so it's taking longer than I would like, longer than perhaps she would like to try and pull all the assets together. That's one of the reasons I know that Dave was emailing you about, hey, can you come in and get a photo done?
Yeah.
Because you're trying to pull those things together. There are several other people who have not gotten that done. So
you're not
the stumbling block holding anything back.
Okay.
But I know that they're working hard on trying to pull those things together.
Okay.
One thing I wanted to mention to you, are you involved with Charisse on the Power Woman thing? Did you say you were doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had a similar conversation with Carol Deckbar from TIA Cref.
Okay.
She's a CEO of their asset products, I think. So fairly influential person in the community in the University City area as well. One of the things that she is passionate about personally is women's leadership.
Okay.
And I think that she would be a good person to talk with about the Power of Women work that you're doing.
Okay.
And she might be willing to be supportive in a number of ways.
Okay.
I certainly can't speak for her, but
right.
based on my understanding of her passions, I think there's a decent chance that at least it'd be a great conversation for you to have
yeah.
with her.
Okay, sounds good.
I'd be happy to make a connection if you'd like to do that.
That would be great, and I definitely would want to include Charisse because that, you know, she's leading this initiative.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, what I'll do then is I will send an email to Carol and copy you and Charisse
okay.
and say, hey, I was having this conversation and...
Yeah, right.
and I'll let you guys take it from here. But I think, as I was talking with her, leadership is very important to her.
Okay.
And she said one of the areas that she invests herself in is women's leadership because she believes mm-hmm. that women sabotage themselves.
Absolutely.
That
Absolutely.
One of the things she said to me is that if a job is posted and a woman has... 80% of the qualifications, she won't post. If a man has 40% of the qualifications, he'll post.
He'll post and he'll negotiate his right. salary to no end.
Right.
So it's like you don't even have the qualifications, but you want to come in at top dollar. It's a different level of confidence that mm-hmm. men and women have. Mm-hmm. I'm chair of our alumni. Carolina's healthcare system has a program called mentoring program for women on the road to success, and we have it's a year-long program. When you graduate, you go into the alumni group, and I'm the chair of the steering committee for the alumni group, and we have monthly educational seminars on things like that, just leadership development and how to get and how to gain confidence and mm-hmm. how to navigate politics in the work world. So it is definitely true. It is definitely mm-hmm. true. Women, we feel like we have to be 110% before we're even qualified.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think that men have similar challenges, but I think we're willing to. I mean, what I told Carol is, I said, I know how job descriptions are written.
Yeah.
They're fantasies.
Yeah.
Nobody has right. everything that you want in a job description.
No.
So since I know that's a fantasy,
yeah.
I probably stack up pretty well compared to the other people.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
I don't have a problem coming in and saying, look,
yeah.
I'm capable, I'm skilled, I can do this.
Right.
And I think that's... It's interesting. My wife is very much a rules kind of person. If the mm-hmm. rules say X, then there's no exception.
Yeah.
And I say, they weren't written into stone tablets by
right.
God.
Yeah.
Somebody put up a sign.
Yeah. See, and I think it's just the difference in how men and women think. Women mm-hmm. are much more exact, you know, and I guess, you know, with men, not so exact. But it works because, you know, men do come in and they'll get the job and they'll get the higher dollar. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we hear of the differences, the pay differences between men and women, I personally feel, and I probably would be crucified for saying this, but I personally feel that sometimes that pay gap and that difference is because women don't negotiate salaries and men do.
My mom pointed me to a book called Women Don't Ask.
Wow, I'll have to read that.
And she said it was very helpful to her as she was trying to negotiate for all kinds of things
yeah.
in her life.
Yeah.
And the premise is simply that men will ask.
Yeah, and they will ask without qualifications.
Well, and I'll tell you, we went on a trip to Colorado. We did a road trip mm-hmm. with all seven kids
oh,
in
wow.
the van out to Colorado.
Yeah.
Had a blast. It was
yeah.
a great time.
Yeah.
One takeaway is ask for a discount everywhere you go.
Mm.
Just ask for a discount. Is this the best rate you can give me in this hotel room?
Wow.
I know we made reservations and we booked it right online
right.
and I'm standing right here at the desk because I want to check in right now. Can you give me a lower rate?
Wow.
I mean, the worst thing they can say is no.
I never thought to ask that.
Yeah. I mean, it was very powerful. And anywhere you go, we've taken the family to Bojangles for lunch
yeah.
and their prices are their prices. You're not negotiating for their prices,
right.
but their packages are... you know, available.
Right.
And if you order individual entrees for 9 people, that's a certain dollar amount. But
yeah.
then they have a, you know, family feast or a,
yeah.
you know, picnic bundle or whatever they're.
Right.
And that one of the people there said, you know, it'd probably be a better deal for you if you got this other thing. And here's how you would, you know, here's how.
Yeah.
And we didn't put the math, you know, we didn't do it. Wow. So it was like 10 bucks.
Oh, wow.
That's great.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think it's always worth asking for a discount.
Wow, I'll definitely, and you know, from my perspective, I would feel like that's not really ladylike. They've already given you the price.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's the different mindset. But
well, I mean, what's
definitely take that.
what's the worst thing that can happen?
Yeah.
They'll say, right. Well, what are you, nuts?
But as women, we don't think we are like, because, I mean, it, really, when you negotiate, what's the worst thing that can happen?
Right.
When you negotiate a salary, what's the worst thing that can happen? But women just feel like, and I've talked to a lot of my team about that, ask for what you need. Mm-hmm. And some of my colleagues, you know, they'll call them all. I just got offered this job. Do I negotiate? I'm like, yeah. I mean, they've already offered you the job. They can't legally rescind it now. Ask for what you want. If you don't get it, then you don't get it.
Don't take the job.
Yeah, don't take the job.
If they've gotten to the point where they've vetted you as a candidate and they've said, here's an offer we'd like to make you, will they come up some?
Yeah,
they will.
Right.
Unless they're foolish. And if they're foolish, you don't want to work with them.
Right, right.
I mean,
exactly.
Because if they say, well, no, we're not doing that, well, then how do they value their people?
Yeah.
How do they value their time?
Right,
because a few $1,000s one way or the other is really not relevant.
No.
In the overall cost, fully burdened cost of an employee, forget it.
Right, right.
If you're going to fight over $500 or $1,000 or whatever, come on.
Exactly.
I gave my realtor a hard time. We just bought a house a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And we made an offer, and the sellers, we made a really low offer. I mean, I'm cheap. I'm always looking for value, so I made a really low offer.
Yeah.
And they responded, and they countered my offer by 1%, which was well within our budget.
Yeah.
And the realtor was so excited about it. He called me at 11:30 at night to say, hey, I just got this counter offer. I want it, you know.
Yeah.
And I said, well, of course we're going to counter. And he's like, I said, Harold, I'm just jerking your chin. This is a great house. It's a great deal.
Yeah.
Of course we're going to buy it, you know?
Yeah.
He was like,
you almost gave him a heart attack.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, wow.
Well, one thing that came to mind is, I don't know, for your alumni group, are you interested in having male speakers at all come in and talk about leadership or communication
absolutely.
Or conflict? Or
yeah.
I'd be happy to help out with that if that's something
really?
You'd be interested
in doing.
Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely. And which topics would you prefer to?
Well, I talk about things like, why won't they listen to me?
Okay.
And where we're talking fundamentally about how connection is critically important, and the way you connect is by answering these questions. Do you care for me? Can you help me? And can I trust you?
Mm-hmm.
And so I do a program on that. You know, how do we help you develop those skills? Another one I do is, everyone communicates, few connect. And then I talk about how connectors connect on common ground.
Mm-hmm.
What's something we can talk about that we both feel good about? Connectors do the difficult work of keeping it simple.
Mm-hmm.
How do you begin to be simple in your communications? Because so many times we have too much detail and we go way into it.
Right.
And it really, it's connection is all about others.
Yeah.
How do we begin to sit down and understand the other person?
Right, right.
So I think a lot of times we don't think about those things.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we're naturally better or worse at it. And there's some people who you watch and you're like, man, that person's good. How do they do that?
Yeah, yeah.
But there are skills that we can learn.
Yeah.
And there are things that we can intentionally do. So for example, in the Why Won't They Listen to Me program, I talk about how you can ask people about their family.
Mm-hmm.
You can ask them about their occupation.
Mm-hmm.
You can ask them about their recreation.
Yeah.
And then you can ask them about their message or their mission.
Mm-hmm.
What's bigger than themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And if you tie into those form, family, occupation, recreation, message, or mission, if I'm having a conversation with somebody and you don't have any family here, or you don't want to talk about your family, I can ask you about your job. If that doesn't work out, I can ask you about, what do you do for fun?
Right.
And if that doesn't work, I can ask you about your travel to Africa.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so having a template or a rule set or something that, you know, allows me to feel more confident in knowing, well, I wouldn't know what to say.
Yeah.
Well, now you do.
Yeah, exactly.
When we sat down in your office before, I looked at your photos on your desk. And I said, well, all right, tell me about this one. This one doesn't look like the rest of them. What's that about? You know?
Yeah.
And you had invested an awful lot of you in that memory and that experience. You were not uncomfortable talking to me about that.
No. Mm-mm.
Right. And it wasn't a burden, or I wasn't being intrusive or, you know, unpleasant.
Right.
You know, you're happy to talk about that.
Right,
so
right.
Talking about those types of ideas, or talking about failing forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you begin to take this experience you had and turn it into something really valuable? Because so much of the time we do fail.
Yeah.
You know, and we learn. If we're wise, we learn from our failures.
If we're wise.
Sometimes we're not so wise.
If we're wise. That's
so
good, though.
If any of those topics sound relevant or helpful for your group, I'd be very happy to come and speak to them.
Okay, I'll definitely keep that in mind. Definitely.
So.
Definitely. We have a a steering group, so I'll pass it by them as well, see what they think.
Well, the other thing I talk about with respect to that, this is a local group, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If it's a group that I'm local for, if you guys get jammed up, you have somebody cancel or unable to do it, mm-hmm. feel free to reach out to me.
Okay, and we'll do.
That way, because I know sometimes you're in a situation where you got a meeting and somebody says, my kid's sick, or yeah. I just have yeah. whatever.
Right.
And then you're
right.
like, but we got these people coming.
Right. yeah.
What are we going to do?
Exactly.
Oh. This is the media release form,
okay.
so we can actually take the information from this and use it for the campaign for the chamber. I will tell you what I told Carol, whose communications team was nervous about it. I said, there's zero value to the chamber if you don't come off looking brilliant.
and I'm sitting here signing it, and I'm hoping that there's not an issue. But no, because actually, my company, they were the ones that paid for me to go through the emerging business leaders.
There you go. And wasn't it your boss that told you had to get involved with the chamber to begin with?
Yeah, he's gone now. He's now president of a hospital in Spartanburg. He's gone.
Oh, my goodness.
Today is the
20th.
Okay.
Terrific.
You
thank you so
all
much.
All right. Thank you so much. This was a pleasure. And I'm so excited to be a part of it.
I think it's really cool. I'm excited about it, too.
Yeah.
We've done some interviews with small business people.